Hey friends, welcome back to the show. This is the Max Living Podcast, and I get the privilege today to sit down with Dr. Ron Oberstein, who is the president of a chiropractic college. It's Life West on the West Coast. And today we sit down, we talk about all things chiropractic, but also get into, hey, what does it actually mean to be a chiropractor? So really excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nick. It's great to be here.
As a practicing chiropractor, some of the things that I hear, questions that are asked are, what does it take to become a chiropractor? How is it different from like a medical education? Is it something that's you get this certification online, or is it more advanced than that? Talk to me about what it takes to become a chiropractor.
Well, it takes a lot. I'll tell you what, the main thing it takes is having the heart to serve, right? And having the strength and perseverance to really know what you want. As far as academically, we do the same coursework as medical doctors and osteopaths and all the other healthcare professions, but we learn it in a different way. You know, as you know, in chiropractic, we have a more of a salutogenic model. Salute means health, and genic means the creation of Genesis, the creation of health. So we're looking at things from a different lens, and that lens is really built around how do we allow this body to be as healthy as it can possibly be, right? Instead of just masking a symptom or doing something like that. So when we, in college, you know, I mean, you have to have your prerequisites. In fact, nowadays, I think it started probably close to 7-8 years ago that they did a pilot study to have, used to be for all the healthcare professions, you know, you had to have all your sciences, you had to have, you know, years and years of sciences and chemistry and all these other courses, which are really important. But what they did was they realized in all the professions that people were, you know, they were excluding people, you know, from joining the health professions. For instance, you could have been a brilliant engineer, right? But are you, and you wanted to become a chiropractor. Well, are you going to go back to college to do all of your prerequisites to come in, you know, when you could be able to go into school and be able to function well? So they opened up this pilot study, and what they found as a result over the course of years was that the students who come in with a non-science background do just as well on their national boards testing than students who had the science background.
So now somebody who's not, doesn't have a science background could then end up in chiropractic school. There is a transition pathway for somebody like that?
Absolutely, straight away.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and it isn't online. So it's not a certificate course. I mean, you're going through school. It's, you know, it's a 4.5 year course, equivalent course, right? And you're coming out with a doctorate degree, of course, and you're able to practice and you are a doctor.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned something there that I want to touch on, that there's a philosophical difference between the education, even the education of a chiropractor, and versus, let's say, a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. And there's different varying philosophies within chiropractic and chiropractic schools. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, there's different philosophies in every healthcare profession, right? We've got medical doctors who are more holistic minded. They do nutrition in their offices. They do things like that, right? And you've got other medical doctors who basically just look for pains and symptoms and prescribe medication, which, sure, you know, there's a place for everybody. In chiropractic, we, you know, the brand of chiropractic that we teach at Life West is really about looking at the body, knowing that the body, that there's a healing power within the body, and that what we want to do is tap into that. We see what's right with the body, not what's wrong with the body. Of course, we identify what's wrong, and we understand when someone comes in with whatever problem they may have, there's an issue going on, and we want to be able to differentially look at that. But the overall or underlying approach is being able to see that, you know, this body was born perfectly, right? You know, it's when a sperm and an egg, 1 + 1 became 1, you know, I don't know how many times that happens in mathematics, and then it divided into 2 cells, into 4 cells, 8 cells, you know, to the trillions of cells that we are right now, and that there's an intelligence that works within this body, right? And all we have to do is be able to work with that intelligence so that the body can heal itself.
I love the fact that you said that starting from a place of what's right with the body.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a lot of practitioners, or maybe even within the healthcare field, that's really, it doesn't feel like that's the approach within the dominant form of healthcare that we see here, at least in North America, of what's right with the body, rather than maybe what's wrong with the body. as you've seen with COVID, how have you seen chiropractic, I don't want to say integrate, but how is chiropractic integrating in healthcare? Is that a naughty word? Like, what's your perspective? Like, where's the chiropractor's role in healthcare right now, especially in this, call it post-COVID world or the COVID world that we're in?
Yeah, that's a great question. And going back to the first thing you touched on, was, you know, that's Western society, right? Where we're always looking for what's wrong. Mm-hmm. But if you go to India, if you go to China, if you go to Southeast Asia, if you go, you know, back China, back to the East, they're always looking about what's right. That's their approach that they take with the body, right? So when you look at chiropractic, of course we see something that might be wrong and we can work with that, but we want to educate our patients to what's right there and let them know that, you know, and start to really enhance. That's why you'll see a lot of chiropractic patients. They might come in for something. Let's just say they have indigestion or they have headaches or they have whatever it might be, right? And then they find out after getting care that, my gosh, this has improved and I'm sleeping better and I'm doing this and that, and their whole body starts functioning well because we work with the body, not just the symptom. We work with the body to enhance the body. To talk about post-COVID, right? First of all, chiropractors, I've been a chiropractor 40 years this year, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's
thank you.
You're welcome. And it feels like 10. I mean, you know, really? My wife's a chiropractor, my two brothers are chiropractors, my three daughters are chiropractors, you know, and yet I feel younger every year, right, about chiropractic. But in the post-COVID world, and even pre-COVID, you know, I mean, everyone should be under chiropractic care. There's a place for everybody, right? I mean, medical doctors are needed. I mean, my gosh, if I cut my arm off here, don't take me to a chiropractor first. Get me over to an emergency room, right, kind of deal, right?
Right.
Absolutely, right? And then, of course, I want to make sure I get my nervous system taken care of so that my sympathetic system can calm down and I can have a better healing environment. Mm-hmm. But we all have to work together, you know, and we all have to understand it. And it's so much stronger these days. I mean, back when I first started, there was this big clash of, you know, chiropractic and medicine and everyone's turf and all this different stuff. It's pretty much being dissolved right now, you know.
You've seen that being dissolved.
Oh, big time. With my children, right?
Okay.
You know, they're 30, 32, and 34 years of age, you know, their generation, they don't see this stuff. They don't have that going on. Their friends are medical doctors and osteopaths and doing different stuff, and they all just talk to each other and work with each other, and it's what they do, and it's really where we're moving, right?
That's interesting, because you hear a lot of patients even say, how come chiropractors and medical doctors can't just, like, work together and figure it out, and we create, like, this new system? And it's really been there's been some resistance to that.
There has, and it's old school stuff. So let's just make, you know, we'll be really clear of it. You know, that was like my age, my generation, that's still lingering, right?
Sure.
The bottom line is this, is that if the philosophies are different, then the philosophies come down to, I just want to take care of your symptom and you don't really have the ability to heal, mm-hmm. as compared to you do have the ability to heal, and let's get your whole body taken care of, right? Let's work with this intelligence within you to allow you to be the best you can be and function at your optimal potential. And that's a philosophical difference.
Sure.
Right, so there could be resistance on that level, right?
And there might be resistance philosophically that you can't maybe come together in certain areas because, as you said, when we educate our patients, and we actually use the same analogy as like the cut arm. The mm-hmm. arm is cut, like you're not going to come bleeding on a carpet. Like
right.
You go to the hospital, your blood pressure shoots up to 300 over 200. There's a crisis care, crisis model, and that's very appropriate for crisis. But there's also this vitalistic building health over time. And so for you, that word vitalism, it's been really something at Max Living we've been trying to really incorporate into our common vernacular, common language. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that, you know, what does vitalism mean to you? What is that, like, word trigger for you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the biggest thing about vitalism is that within us, there's a vital force, right? That we have an ability within us to take care of ourselves, right? We know that there is a vitality within the body. And, you know, the vitalistic approach has been able to tap into that and understand that and work with the body, not against it. Mm-hmm. Make sure that we're doing everything to support the body and not suppress the body, right? But once again, we're talking about becoming healthy.
Sure.
We're not talking about sick care or I love what you said before, Dr. Nick, or emergency care, right? I mean, you know, if I have a major issue that just I got hit by a bus or some of that, don't look at me vitalistically. Put my body back together first, and then we'll let that vital force come through, right? You know what I'm saying? So we just have to know the time and the place. But from chiropractic, we feel it's from the womb, you know, to the tomb. I mean, you know, from birth all the way beyond birth, before birth, right, when you're in mommy's belly, because you're still working off, you know, your mom's, the mom's nervous system, and the baby, the fetus has its own nervous system, all the way to, you know, to death. I mean, we should make sure that our nervous systems are functioning to the best of its ability so that we could be as healthy and express health as importantly as possible, as strong as possible. The interesting thing, though, is this, is that we really have to start looking and seeing in the Western world where our healthcare is going. Like, you know, if I go back 40 years ago, you know, heart disease and cancer were the number one and number two killers, right? 30 years ago, heart disease and cancer were the number one and two killers of people. 20 years ago, heart disease and cancer. 10 years ago, heart disease and cancer. Today, heart disease. So we're not changing that model. Right? On the Western side. We're just not changing that. And as chiropractors, we know that, well, a lot of that we can take care of, right? A lot of that is lifestyle, right? And it's educating people about how to live right, right? And how to make sure their body's as healthy as possible. And that's what we've been embracing, you know, for the last 125 years in chiropractic. It's just that, you know, we've got to get that through mainstream healthcare.
Sure. Do you feel like in your position, you're an expert in the chiropractic field, that chiropractors are positioned to be able to take care of those types of people, not just the simple neck pain, low back pain, and headaches?
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel this. I feel that anybody who has a nervous system, right, and that's alive, mm-hmm. should be under chiropractic care, because no matter who you are and what your condition is, whether you're in phenomenal condition or whether you're, you know, you have cancer, let's say, you still should have a properly running nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a story about my father. My father actually in 2 days, my father's 95 years old. I'll be flying to Phoenix tomorrow morning to go take him out for dinner on tomorrow night, and then Sunday we're celebrating his birthday. Yeah, he's been under chiropractic care since he was like probably in his 40s, right? And I don't know, 3 years ago, you know, they diagnosed him with bladder cancer, right? And so, you know, he wanted to do chemotherapy, and of course his three sons are saying, "Dad, let's look at this," because 92 years old at the time under chemo, there's a better chance of him dying from the chemo than of the cancer, right? And he just looked at us and said, "Listen, I might not have many years left. If I have it, you know, I can't really harm myself that much." We said, "Okay." So he went through two rounds of chemo, and his white blood cells got so high that they said, "Marvin, we can't give you chemotherapy. I mean, you're just not a candidate." And they gave him 12 months to live if he didn't do the chemo, right? Okay. And God bless him. I mean, these doctors, they couldn't do surgery. It's a 7-hour surgery. I, at 64 years old, I probably couldn't last that surgery. 92, no way, right? Sure. So he stopped the chemo, you know, and he, of course, getting adjusted and doing good things like that. And, you know, I'm taking him out for his birthday tomorrow. This is 3 years later, and he's doing great. The tumor's shrinking. You know, it's just incredible what the body can do when it has the ability to do it, right? And that's what chiropractic, and God bless the medical doctors, too. I mean, it's like everybody has to be able to work together, right? It's not it's no one's fault. It's just where our education lies and what approach we want to look at for health. And COVID's a big one, because you mentioned that. It's huge. I mean, right now, more people, the chiropractors' offices these years have been booming because, you know, people want an answer. They see that you just can't sit around and eat bonbons and you know, and yo-hos and watch, you know, Oprah and The View and expect to get healthy. They realize it.
I think more people are waking up to the reality that health is your greatest asset.
That's right. It's your greatest wealth, right?
It's your greatest wealth. It's woken. It's kind of woken people up in that regard. And it's obvious that the world needs chiropractic. From your perspective, are there too many chiropractors right now?
Oh my gosh. From my perspective, we haven't even scratched the surface with the amount of chiropractors. You know, right now, worldwide, there's maybe 100,000 chiropractors, give or take, you know, whatever it is. And if you take 7 billion people, right, mm-hmm. and 100,000, I mean, I could put a chiropractor on every corner in the United States, no matter where. I don't care if it's in Cincinnati, Ohio, or if it's Bohoken, wherever, right? And I'm telling you that they could do phenomenal, just great. We need more chiropractors, right? Mm-hmm. We need more chiropractors.
we need more people seeking them out, understanding chiropractic.
And that will happen. That will happen. You notice wherever there's a McDonald's, there's a what? Burger King or somewhere. Marriott, there's a there's a Hilton or whatever. You know, the more we have of chiropractors, you know, the more awareness that comes out, you know, and people start seeing it.
Yeah, and there's just a difference in, even within chiropractic, there's that difference in philosophies, that, like, as you said. So talk to the person who's listening who's like, hey, I've actually considered being a chiropractor myself, or I've got a friend or family member, I've got a loved one who I kind of want to explore chiropractic. Like, how can I become a chiropractor? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, actually, it's been happening. Like this year, let's just use this last COVID year, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had so many people coming to the college, you know, enrolling in the college for their second, you know, profession, things like that. People are saying, you know what, they're finally reevaluating. Am I happy with what I'm doing in my job? I got a 9-to-5. I'm not really happy. I'm just kind of going to work, waiting for the weekend, living like that, right? You know, sure. And then on the weekends, they're thinking about going to work on Monday, and you know, that's not living. You know, that's kind of just going through the motions. So what's been happening now is people have been waking up and saying, you know, I want to change my life. I want to do something that can really contribute, Dr. Nick, to humanity, right? And when I said before, the first question you asked was, what does it take? You know, that kind of thing. And I said, it just takes a heart, right? And a strong purpose or a why. You know, if you really want to make a difference in the world, if you want people to function to the best of their ability, if you'd like to see babies grow up, you know, healthy without taking medication and the regular stuff, I'm not talking about like if they needed it for, you know, a bad fall or, you know, a cut or whatever it might be, and you really want to see people express their best potential, mm-hmm. I mean, chiropractic is one of the greatest avenues that I know. You know, we start seeing all these things. We've been talking about this for probably the last 10 years, you know, the shootings that were taking place and probably still are, like at malls and schools and, you know, and all that stuff. Like, you know, kid walks in, a 15-year-old kid with an AR and just starts shooting. Well, you know, and people go, man, that kid must have been sick. You know, well, truthfully, he was. There was a disconnection happening that would cause someone to do that. No one looks at the cause, and most of the people who do that, right, they're on psychotropic drugs, right? They're either on, you know, Ritalin or whatever it might be. That's, you know, because they have an issue that neurologically they're out of balance, right? And so I'm not saying that chiropractic is going to take care of all this. It's not the panacea, but when we get these people functioning better and get their bodies working better, we're going to start seeing a healthier society, right? And that's really what we need, is a healthier world.
And that's being a part of something even bigger than ourselves. And so you can tell in your voice there's even more behind what you're saying, because you're a chiropractor. Can I ask you, like, what caused you to end up being a chiropractor? Like, why'd you choose to become one?
You know, I was playing professional basketball in Europe, when I was in Europe, I was thinking of coming back to the States and at some point, and I was going to be like, I think about going to social work. I just love people. I just want to, you know, just love being around people. And I got hurt. And I got hurt playing ball. My ankle got ripped up and they were supposed to do surgery and they didn't. So I ended up coming back to the States and I was just on my mom's couch at the time. This was back in 1977 or so. And I got a phone call from one of my friends went to high school with, his older brother, called me up, never called me in my life, and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm living on my mom's couch. Back in those days, our rooms were taken away when we left home, right? They became storage rooms. And so I said, so he came over, he said, can I come over? I go, absolutely. He came over, his name was Mark, and Mark came over, and just, he was in the second quarter of chiropractic school, and he just told me about chiropractic. He told me, chiropractic isn't just about getting sick people well, it's about having people function to the best of their ability, what we're just talking about. And it resonated so deeply within me. You know, because that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to allow people to function at their physically, mentally, socially, you know, spiritually at their highest level, right? Mm-hmm. And I started researching and I just went, I'm going to be a chiropractor. And that's what happened. That's how I got into it. And I've been under chiropractic care, Dr. Nick, since I was 13 years old. You know, I had an injury playing sports in school. I went to the chiropractor, did great after 2 months. And I just said to my mom, I feel so good. Can I just keep going? And she said, yeah, once a week. I got checked by my chiropractor, right? But never told me about chiropractic. I was probably too young at that time, right? And then I just kind of went off and played ball and did all this stuff. And that's what happened to me. And, you know, that's how I became a chiropractor. So there's all these paths that we can take. But when that light bulb goes off and you know, I really want to do something to make a difference in the world, It's amazing.
That light bulb, I found that when I was in chiropractic school, one of our professors asked, how many of you showed up here and you've never been adjusted? And there are a bunch of hands that went up. Mm-hmm. Like they had actually started chiropractic school, not because of personal experience, but because of what you're saying. They just desired to help people. They wanted to get in there. And so it wasn't, and I don't know if you've seen that on your end at your school, is that there's maybe a shift or a difference. It's not always out of a personal experience, but it's out of a desire to help.
Absolutely. So when I, 44 years ago when I started chiropractic college, right? When I was a new student, they asked the same question. And how many of you have never been adjusted? And out of, for every 100, maybe 2 people raised their hands, right? Like literally 2% had never been. Nowadays, it's over 50%.
Wow.
But it's really cool. It's really cool because people are hearing about chiropractic or they're finding it because they're really searching. So you don't have to have this experience to be a chiropractor. You just have to have that desire and willingness to really want to. I mean, you could do it for whatever reason someone wants to, but the secret sauce of the success is just having that desire to serve, right?
Sure.
We have an ethos at our college, right? The founder of our college is Dr. Sid Williams. And Dr. Sid Williams talked about something called lasting purpose, to give, to do, to love, and to serve out of your own abundance, expecting nothing in return. And that was Dr. Sid's ethos, right? And we still carry that forth in everything that we do at the college. And if I can, our students get a phenomenal education. They get phenomenal clinical experience. I mean, they really come out great chiropractic graduates. That is going to help them tremendously in their career. But really, it's the why. And when you can get that emblazoned about serving and giving and, you know, giving, doing, loving, and serving out of your own abundance to go out and change this world, you will be so successful. They will be so successful. And that's really what it's about, having that ethos that, you know, I want to go out and make a difference, right?
Yeah, that make a difference is so big. Yeah, as you're talking, just kind of in closing, I'm just sitting here thinking about, I hope some of my patients are listening to this right now and they want to go be a chiropractor. Like, I really hope that that's the outcome of this, right? If that person says, hey, I want to go become a chiropractor, how do they do that? What's the first step?
You know, the first thing I would tell you to do is go to our website, you know, because you can learn about chiropractic, right? And it's lifewest.edu. So it's very, very simple, right? Lifewest.edu. And then there's a front page. It'll just talk about become a chiropractor, and they just click on it. You can go through all these. There's videos. There's all kinds of different tracks just to get educated if you don't know anything about chiropractic. If you do know something about chiropractic and you're thinking, is it right? Talk to our admissions team, right? Whether you come to Life West or you go to another college, that's totally whatever it's up to somebody. But we can at least educate you so that you can find your way, right? So that you can be able to see if this is the right, you know, the right profession for you.
Well, Dr. Ron, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for not only being here, we're at MLX right now with our, you know, this is our seminar for our doctors and our teams, and you fly in here to do this. And so I really appreciate your time and all the work that you're doing at Life West.
Well, thank you. And Dr. Nick, I appreciate you also. And I appreciate, you know, ML, and I appreciate all the work that Max Living is doing to allow chiropractors to have a forum where they can grow themselves, you know, practice-wise, professionally, personally, spiritually, family-wise. I mean, it's the whole package, right? Because that's what we need to do as professionals. It's not just, you know, being in practice and just, you know, every day and doing this. Even though we love what we do, we all need balance. And so I want to thank you and all the leaders at Max Living for creating that environment so that doctors can become balanced, because that's going to keep them around longer and be able to serve more people in the long run. So thank you also.
Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.